Boston Marathon bomber, 9/11 terrorists, serial killers, an Oklahoma City bombing conspirator, spies, white supremacist leaders, and assorted cartel and mafia bosses. Many of the inmates here would die in federal prison under the official weight of multiple life sentences. The prison was in the middle of nowhere. No one had ever escaped. But if anyone did, there would be no place to hide. The topography around the prison was flat and open. Not a blade of grass or a single tree or bush grew around the complex. The prison was encircled by 12-foot-high perimeter walls topped with razor wire and interlaced with pressure pads. These spaces were patrolled 24/7 by armed guards and attack dogs. Any prisoner reaching this spot would almost certainly be killed by either fangs or bullets. And few would care about a serial murderer, terrorist, or spy face-planting in the Colorado soil for the final time. Atlee Pine's truck had been scoped and searched, and her name and ID checked against the visitors list. After that, she was escorted to the front entrance and showed the guard stationed there her FBI special agent credentials. She was 35, and the last 12 years of her life had been spent with a shiny badge riding on her hip. The gold shield was topped by an open-winged eagle, and below that was Justicia, holding her scales and sword. It was fitting, Pine thought, that a female was depicted on the badge of the preeminent law enforcement agency in the world. She had relinquished her Glock 23 pistol to the guards. Pine had left in her truck the Beretta Nano that normally rode in an ankle holster. This was the only time she could remember voluntarily handing over her weapon. But America's only federal supermax had its own set of rules by which she had to abide if she wanted to get inside, and she very much did. She was tall, over 5'11 in her bare feet. Her height had come from her mother, who was an even 6 feet. Despite her stature, Pine was hardly lithe or willowy. She would never grace a runway or magazine cover as a stick-thin model. She was solid and muscular, which had come from pumping iron religiously. Her thighs, calves, and glutes were rocks, her shoulders and delts sculpted, her arms ropey with long cords of muscle, and her core was iron. She also had competed in MMA and kickboxing, and had learned pretty much every way that a smaller person could take on and subdue a larger one. All of these skills had been learned and enhanced with one aim in mind: survival, while toiling in what was largely a man's world. And physical strength, and the toughness and confidence that came with it, was a necessity. Her features were angular and came together in a particularly attractive, almost bewitching manner. She had dark hair that fell to shoulder length and murky blue eyes that gave the impression of great depth. She had never been to Florence before, and as she was escorted down the hall by two burly guards who hadn't uttered a word to her, the first thing that struck Pine was the almost eerie calm and quiet. As a federal agent, she had visited many prisons before. They were normally a cacophony of noise, screams, catcalls, curses, trash talk, insults and threats, with fingers curled around bars and menacing looks coming out of the cell's darkness. If you weren't an animal before you went to a max prison, you would be one by the time you got out, or else you'd be dead. It was Lord of the Flies, with steel doors and flush toilets. Yet here, it was as if she was in a library. Pine was impressed. It was no small feat for a facility housing men who, collectively, had slaughtered thousands of their fellow humans using bombs, guns, knives, poisons, or simply their fists. Or, in the case of the spies, with their treasonous acts.
Catch a tiger by its toe.
Pine had driven over from St. George, Utah, where she used to live and work. In doing so, she'd motored across the entire state of Utah and half of Colorado. Her navigation device had told her it would take a little more than 11 hours to traverse the 650 miles. She had done it in under 10, having the benefit of a lead foot, a big-ass engine in her SUV, and a radar detector to get through the inevitable speed traps. She'd stopped once to use a restroom and to grab something to eat for the road. Other than that, it had been pedal to the floor mat. She could have flown into Denver and driven down from there, but she had some time off, and she wanted to think about what